I feel bad that if I celebrate, I've got some, thank you. If I celebrate more when Jeff Gordon used to win the race than I do about Jesus Christ who did something eternal for me, I should feel bad. If I celebrate more when I catch that big old bass, then I celebrate Jesus Christ, my Savior, the one who loved me when I was unlovable, I ought to feel bad about that. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want to feel bad. I'll tell you, a good way to not feel bad about not giving God praise is just to plain give Him praise. Give Him praise. Is He not worth it? Did He not do something for you that you could not do for yourself? Remember that next time you're watching a sporting event or watching your child walk across the stage for some reason or hear your favorite song on the radio. Remember that. Am I giving this more praise than I give to my Lord and Savior? And then fix it. How about that? Let's just do that. It's awesome. It's awesome. I love doing church. Okay? I was telling our prayer group this morning, church is a whole lot more than what happens in this room on Sunday mornings. It is a whole lot more. I ran through a whole list and I didn't even scratch the surface about all that goes on because we're a church together. From feeding people to clothing people to praying for people to cooking for people to helping people to building ramps to building whatever to just it's just amazing. Visiting with people, talking with people, helping people, whether it's financially or monetarily or physically, being there when tragedy strikes and having a shoulder to lean on and not have to worry about cooking and it just all this food just shows up and people are there to help serve it and cut it up and make it ready. And it's, folks, those are big things. Those are important. When we have Sunday school teachers that study their lesson, we have people that are ready to teach the children out in children's church and work with the little ones in the nursery. Folks, those are big things, and they're important. Did you know that God created His church? You know, a lot of times, even when I get together with pastors, I say, hey, how's your church doing? And I just respond, well, it's the best church in the world, but yeah, it's awesome, it's great. But I feel bad about not saying, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about because it's not my church. It's Christ's church. It's Christ's church. And did you know that He created His church for His eternal purposes? And I want to talk about that for a second. His purposes for this church are more than what happens right here on this earth. Do you believe that? How many of you, I've not even got to my notes yet, and we may or may not get there. How many of you have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the work of this church? Because of this work of this church? Anybody? Okay. How many of you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the work of any church? Did it matter to you? Did it matter to you right now? It matters to you for all of eternity too, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It's important. It's important. You know, I was thinking, you know, about, you know, this is the premier event that we do each week, Sunday morning service. So we put all the work and effort into this. I mean, we do everything too, but this is the not the showcase, that's not the right word, but this is the most opportunity to maybe, this is when we get most visitors through the doors. It's our biggest event, most potential for impact, but that's not true either. It's just, but this is our big thing, okay? But there is just so much more that happens. So much more that happens. I can't remember where I was going to say, but it was good. Just take my word for it. I was telling the group this morning. What was it? What did I tell y'all? Everything that happens is important. Oh, I know where it was. Thank you. The people that this church has been able to impact, don't always come through the door on Sunday morning. That's the goal, to get them to come in, to join us, to worship with us, to teach them, to train them, to disciple them. That's the goal, right? Why? So that they can be part of that force that goes out and teaches and trains and disciples other people. I was the food pantry. We have a food pantry, and almost every week we have multiple people who come for food, and that's a great blessing that we can be a blessing to the community for. Very few of those have ever come to the church service. So does that mean we need to not do that anymore? No, that's an arm of the church. We're still ministering to people, showing the love of Christ. Whatever it may be, praying, our prayer list that we get on Tuesday mornings that we pray for. Some of those are people that don't come to our church, but we pray for them. We pray for them. That is a ministry of the church. Christ is the head of the church, and He's the one who builds it. Okay? It just so happens that He uses us to help build it. And it's a privilege and an honor to be a part of that process. I believe that the Bible teaches us that God has three primary purposes for the church. Now, we just listed off several different purposes of the church, how ministries and things that we do. There are a lot of purposes of the church, but I'm going to touch on what I believe are some of the top three, okay? And you may or may disagree, and that's okay. But I think there are the top three are to glorify God, to make disciples, and to bless our community. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He wrote this, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." I love that phrase. To Him who is able to do more than we could even fathom, more than we could even conjure up in our mind, more than we could, the best we could ever dream of, God can do even more. According to His power, that is at work, where? Within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. To glorify God. It says it right there. According to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory. To Him be the glory. And in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever. From past generations to this generation, to future generations, forever and ever. And when generations are ended and we're in heaven, for those that believe in Jesus Christ, because he makes it very clear, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you've done that, you have a future to look forward to, and forever and ever and ever and ever to the glory be. Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things." All things, including the church. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. The ultimate purpose, I believe, of every Christian is to glorify God. We glorify God. We praise Him on Sunday mornings. We praise Him. Hopefully you praise God other days of the week too. Let me just give you a piece of advice. If you find a day that ends in Y, that's the day to glorify your Father. Your Father in heaven, okay? To glorify Him, that's the ultimate purpose of every Christian, I believe. There's no higher calling than to glorify God, to show your appreciation to Him, to He knows how good He is. But we need to say it, because it is a recognition on our part that we recognize how good He is. Some churches focus on what they believe. They're really focused on their doctrine and listen, sound doctrine is important. It's important, okay? But the Bible teaches that faith and doctrine, if not accompanied by actions, is useless. Faith without works is dead. Other churches believe that by doing good things, that's what brings glory to God. Well, God, we did this and this and this and this. Isn't that good? And I'm sure God's going, well, sure it was good, but you know what? I've already got that covered, or that wasn't part of my plan for you. You're avoiding what I what I have for you. That would bring me glory when you obey, when you listen, when you follow. The Bible teaches us that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. It is possible. Listen, did you know this? It's impossible to do good things and dishonor God in the process. Is it a good thing to give a hungry man a loaf of bread? That's a good thing. But if you steal it to give it to him, is that... Well, that's not right, is it? It's possible to glorify, to do things that are good, but to dishonor God in the process. How you do and why you do is sometimes more important than what you do. Let me say it again. How you do and why you do is sometimes more important than what you do. Because if what you do, it doesn't have a God-honoring motive behind it, it may not make a whole lot of difference. If we're going to glorify God, we must first love God, and secondly, serve God God's way. Serve God God's way. That's why God doesn't sit there and say, I wonder what they're going to think up next. How else can they bless me? I don't have a clue. Maybe they'll surprise me. I bet they will. Why do we think we have to conjure up something that'll glorify God when He already has a plan for us? We've just studied for weeks and weeks and weeks about listening to God, hearing from God, and being ready to be involved with what He has for us. I believe that the one of the first priorities of a church is to glorify God. The second one, I believe, is to make disciples. Make disciples. Jesus' final command was this in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." God's will is crystal clear for us, folks. A lot of times we spend a lot of time searching for God's will. We already know at least part of what God's will is for us. It's to bring Him honor and glory. It's to love Him above all things, to love people, other people as ourselves, to lead them into that same love relationship so that they can have a relationship with God the Father and an eternity in heaven to look forward to, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Churches are not simply to make converts. They're to make disciples. Disciples, listen, are more than just people who believe in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Christ, that does not make you a disciple. Disciples are people that follow Christ. Disciples are those who are committed to do everything Christ has commanded us. I will tell you this too. It takes people to make disciples. It takes disciples to make other disciples. When I think of that realm, I'm thinking of our teachers that lead the Bible studies, our Sunday school classes. Every week they're studying. Every week they're digging in the Scriptures, putting together a plan, putting together some way to bring the Scripture to life in front of you. How many of you are thankful that we have those that do that every week? Amen. Amen. But they're not the only ones God called to make disciples. They are making disciples in that classroom so that those in that classroom can go and make disciples too. I believe that with all my heart. The third thing that I believe, the last thing I'm going to speak of today is one, to glorify God, to make disciples, and to preserve and bless their communities, the purposes of the church. glorify God, make disciples, and to preserve and bless our communities. I talked about some of the things that we did, that we do as a church to bless our communities. Has nothing to do with them coming through the door, but those that are hungry get food. Right? Those that need prayer. I'll tell you, I'm never surprised anymore. People that may have a very loose association with this church, maybe not. When something happens, they know who to call. They know who to call. I get lots of calls from people that I may not know. Whether it's we're going to get married and we just feel like we ought to do that in front of a preacher instead of a judge. There's at least something within them that says, I want to do this the right way. And the right way is in church. It calls for people that may or may not come to church, but when there's a tragedy in the family, when there's sickness, when there's death, when there's trouble, they call. Would you pray for us? And we do that. Folks, that is a blessing to the community. Putting shoes on feet is a blessing to the community. Jesus commanded his disciples to be salt and light wherever they went. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, "You are the salt of the earth." I was learning a couple weeks ago that the term salty has changed its meanings over the time, right? Used to be, you know, boy, he's pretty salty. He's a little rough around the edges, but he's good as gold, you know, that kind of thing. And then it kind of changed to where he's salty. Well, that was like the opposite of sweet. He was like mean and grouchy. And now it means something completely different, I think. Something like that. I don't know. But guess what? Tomorrow will mean something different. So don't. That's why I don't try to study too hard on it, because it changes so fast. "You are the salt of the earth. This was not written to us, but it was certainly written for us." You, me, us, we are the salt of the earth. We're to be salt and light wherever we go. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And I used to have a problem with this verse, because I thought, well, how does salt lose its saltiness? Well, I learned that most of their salt came from the Dead Sea. And in that mineral that they would get out of the Dead Sea, only a portion of it was salt. And after a period of time, the salt would have been used up if they were using it for whatever, spices, whatever, preservation. The salt would be used up, and you would have all this other minerals, the phosphor somethings and the nitrous somethings and all that other stuff that's left in there. It looks like salt, but it's not salt. And I began to understand, if salt loses its saltiness, the stuff you have, it's not good, but just to be thrown out because there's no salt left in it. But you are the salt. You're the salt of the earth. Back in the day without refrigeration, some of you remember that day. Am I right? My dad remembers no refrigeration. My dad remembers a time when before refrigerated air. I remember a time before refrigerated air. Agnes, do you remember a time before refrigeration? Yes, sir, she says. You want to go back to those days, either of you? No, you like refrigeration. Why? Because it's good. It preserves. It keeps stuff fresh. Without refrigeration, meat and other foods would spoil very quickly. Salt prevented valuable foods from rotting. And it would last. They could eat on it for days and days and days. I remember hearing stories about some of my kinfolk, you know, somebody would come over and they'd walk out on the back porch, the screened-in porch, or maybe not screened-in, and slice off some of that ham that's hanging out there on the porch. Has anybody ever had anything like that? Yeah. Likewise, Jesus said Christians are to act as a preserving agent for their communities. Did you know that sin naturally tears down things? Tears down marriages. Tears down families, it tears down economies, it tears down nations, societies. It's a devastating, has a devastating impact on us and on this world. But God expects every Christian, that's you and that's me, to make a positive difference in this world, to preserve God's word, to preserve God's working in this place, to preserve the hope that God gives us, to share that. We're to be salt and light. Glorify God, make disciples, and to preserve our communities. When I think of that being salt and light, I'm excited about our shoe project that's coming up. I just closed down the registration page today because yesterday was the last day for registrations. And I told you that I really wanted to get to 200 pairs of shoes. And we were really, 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 really close. Remember that? I really, because the 200 is the minimum order that we have to make. And really, I wanted to see us get to 250. But we were really close to 200. When we finally broke 200, I was like, good deal, good deal. When I shut down the registrations today, we have 313 pair of shoes registered. That's a good thing. That is a great thing. Okay? Do the math. At $18 a pair, that's a little over $5,000, though. Okay? It costs money to be a blessing to the communities. All right? We're going to need to figure that out. That's got to come from somewhere. Okay? Be ready. But listen, when I think of that, what a ministry opportunity. To physically touch and love on people in our community. Now listen, this community that's coming for shoes is from Cleveland to Ace to up the 146 to Livingston to Shepherd, the other side of Shepherd, Goodrich. It's a large area. Those folks may never come to the church. I pray that some of them do. They may never come to the church, but at least they'll know there's a church out in the woods that loves people. Amen. And if they tell anybody about it, that's better advertisement than we could ever get in flyers and newspaper articles and that kind of stuff. So I'm sold. I'm sold on it. We're going to make it happen, and it's going to be good. But guess what? Not only is it going to take some funds to pull that off, it's going to take an army of volunteers out there. So I hope you're ready. July 28th, that Saturday, from 10 to 4, maybe longer because we weren't anticipating that many people, but God is so good. He's going to give us the opportunity to love on a whole bunch of folks. We're going to need people to help wash feet. And yes, there will be gloves and all the sanitary stuff provided for you. It's going to be, there should be no concerns there. We're going to need people to register and check them in when they come in. We're going to need people to pray with them afterwards. We're going to need people to hand out all the backpacks that we've got to give out to all the school kids and maybe enough to give to the adults. I don't know how many is in that bundle. Do you know? Hopefully we can give a backpack to everybody that comes through. Okay? I want to be able to provide in the backpack, especially for the school kids, some pencils and notebook paper and map colors or whatever. I don't even, it's been so long since I've been in school. I don't know what school stuff needs. Maybe they just need an iPad tablet. No, we're not doing that. But folks, it takes work. This stuff doesn't just happen. I was talking this morning. The carpets don't vacuum themselves. The coffee stains on the table and the counters don't wipe themselves up. The commodes don't get washed automatically. There's not a, what's that little robot that runs around and vacuums the floor? We don't have that. We don't have a robot. We have people that pull all of this stuff together. And it's going to take people to pull that together on July 28th. I hope you're on board. And I hope you're a part of it. I hope you show up. And we're going to start that sign-up list because we're going to need some specific jobs and then we're going to need just hands ready. Okay? So I hope you're ready. It takes people. Are you willing to be part of what God has planned for this church? God wants us to bless our community. And glorify God while we do it. And possibly have the opportunity to make disciples. In everything we do. The stuff that we're doing in Cleveland. The mission stuff. The vacation Bible school in the park. For all these kids that, I don't know if they go to church. I don't know if they have a church. If they have an opportunity to go to church. But they're all in the park. We'll take church to them. We're going to be part of an existing ministry that clothes people, that gives them things for their house, things that they need. We're going to be giving food to people that need food. These are good things. But if we don't do them with the right motive, they're not going to be eternally lasting. I'm going to close with this. James chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to let you read it. Let's all read it together. Do not, and so deceive, do what it says. I didn't preach that to you. Y'all read it yourselves. Do not merely listen to the word. Don't just hear the word. Don't just read it and go, yeah, that's what Christians ought to be doing. That's what church ought to be doing. Amen. And I'm going to pray for that and watch people work. I like to watch people work. There's nothing wrong with watching people work, but sometimes we got to get in there and do work too. Amen. Matter of fact, it says, do what it says. What does it say? Well, today it tells us that we're to glorify God. Sometimes we can get that part down pretty good, especially in here where we're kind of, you know, we've got walls around us and people aren't staring at us. It's comfortable because most everybody else is doing the same thing too. Maybe not as animated, but they're at least hopefully in the right spirit, right? Making disciples. Some of us feel like, well, we're not qualified yet. Get qualified. Time's running out. Amen. Preserve and bless our communities. We got a job to do. Do what it says. How many of you? Don't raise your hand. Y'all, no, baloney. Y'all raise your hands if you're ready. How many of you are ready to do what it says and let's bless our community? Let's love God. Let's honor God and glorify Him in all that we do. Let's go make some disciples somewhere. Anybody, does anybody want to raise their hand to that one? Okay, let's get busy, folks. We don't know how much longer we've got. This church has been here for 105 years. It will be in December. Don't know how much longer we've got. If today's my last day, I pray that today is the day that I get to lead somebody to Christ. I get to encourage somebody. I get to share some hope with somebody. I get to pray with somebody that encourages them. Every day, since I don't know when, I better be about that every day because I want my last day to be my best day on this earth because it only gets better from there. Come on, folks. We got something to be excited about. There is a sense of urgency. God didn't call us just to sit. He said, do what it says. Father, help us to do what it says. Father, help us to love you above all else. Father, help us to be so enamored with that love that we're willing to share that with other people so that they can experience the love of Christ. And that they in turn would be so overwhelmed that they would want others to know about that. I know that if we go into a homeless community and tell one person where there's some free food, it's not long before everybody in that community knows where to go get the free food because they share it. They tell it. They tell the good news. They're excited about it. Oh, Lord, make us that excited about the gospel. And, Lord, for this community that reaches far and wide, give us a heart for this community. Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to come up with some things that would effectively, not that we're coming up with things and asking you to bless it, Father, but that you would guide the direction, that you have spoken to people already in this church, and I know it. Father, let them share tonight. This is a hard community. It's a hard community to reach, but God, it's worth reaching. You sent Jesus Christ for them. Use us, Lord. May you find us usable and willing. In Jesus' name I pray. The strong name of Jesus. Lord, the name of Jesus. The name that carries power. The name that is above all names. The only name given by which men must be saved. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. the strong name of Jesus, Lord, we ask this prayer. Amen.